Voices Unite. Okay, this was part of a program that was funded by the ALTC project, which is a federally funded body. And what we wanted to do was to provide a highly scaffolded but flexible learning activity planning tool. So it is one of these things called pedagogical planners, but the basic idea is to encourage teachers to use this thing to help them hopefully develop sound learning designs and to be able to include exemplar or best practice so that it instructs them as they go. So the project actually involved developing 20 exemplar learning designs and guides, which has actually been quite easy because you can just tweak a few things and call it a new one. And also look at this development of a community of educational developers. So the first thing that we had to determine was actually what we were trying to build. And when we were looking around, there's this whole range of things that people are calling pedagogical planners. So we had to decide really what we wanted. And there's all these other things, but we decided that we would have a tool that would just help real teachers develop real lessons. But it has morphed somewhat from what we originally planned. It's interesting that at the moment there's so many of these things burgeoning in most universities in some form or the other, whether it be just out of their learning management system or whether it be something quite separate. And at the conference yesterday, we had so many people in the room that were working on things that basically are looking for similar aims. So we decided it was needed mainly because at universities, the majority of teaching staff actually are not trained teachers. So this is quite a different concept to the school system where everybody is a qualified teacher or usually a qualified teacher. So we have people with PhD in physics, for example, who are very good at physics, want to do research in physics, and as part of their load, they have to teach. And they probably, well, some of them have no interest in teaching. And as a result, that's not where they put their effort. So we wanted to provide tools for people like that as well. So this is a very broad tool. Diana has been commenting, so that there is an assumption in universities that by nature of the fact that you have a PhD in physics, that you are a good teacher. And strangely enough, that's not necessarily, the students don't necessarily agree with that. So when Gibbs was looking at a whole lot of different teaching styles in a whole variety of different areas, he did say that even the best were gifted amateurs rather than actually quite good professionals at educating. So the reason I got into this was because I was in the School of Education and we very much had a big push into e-learning. So even though there were some teachers or lecturers that were very, very good lecturers, when they had to move into e-learning, they suddenly lost their confidence. They weren't sure what to do. So my initial thought, after having been approached by all of these people who wanted some help, was that we could create a runnable lesson at the end. I don't think runnable is actually a word, but it means that, you know, at the end of this process of development, you can sort of plug it in and it can run and your students can use it if you want, but it doesn't have to be that. And it's been quite interesting that in the learning design process, in most cases, when people have been using what we've done, they haven't actually used it fully online and used a lot of offline components. So what we wanted to do is create something that provides new or untrained tutors with the ideas, suggestions and activities that will often just naturally occur to experienced professionals. Now, I will give you that, and anybody that wants to use this can use it. I can give you passwords to access this yourself. So if after you've seen it, you think you'd like to have a go at it, and there's two levels. There's the have a try and invent something yourself, as in one of the formats that we've got, or you can set up your own planner itself. So there's two levels. But that's the URL, and I can give you the passwords. I've just got one scenario here to show you how it fits together, and then I might switch machines. And for anybody that wants to have a real try, or you can try on your machines, you can have a bit of a play with it in this one that we've got left. Okay, this is almost an identical shot to what James showed you in the beginning. And to start with, what we wanted to do was to group some, I guess, best practice patterns in this system. And there's a whole range of teaching strategies that when you really analyse them, they tend to follow similar patterns. And we've come up with this really quite bizarre series of divisions. We sort of just made it up and each one of us took one of these sections to try and develop some work in it. So these are absolutely arbitrary sections and don't work terribly well. So we're looking for suggestions as to how people might access these generic planners in a more effective way. There is a search option there, of course. So if I just clicked, I'll just go back. If I clicked on the teaching strategy option, which is the first one, this is what you would currently see. And that is a whole lot of different learning strategies, teaching strategies, that follow quite standardised patterns. So, for example, WebQuest. If you set up a WebQuest, does anyone know what I'm talking about? There is a formula, a way of putting it together, and most of them follow the same sort of pattern. The same thing with Web Dilemmas. Anyone familiar? Web Dilemmas, I think, is an Australian variation. We couldn't bother doing WebQuest very well. It took too long. So we sort of shortcutted it. It's a yes or no option with Web Dilemmas. It's quite fun to do and very quick if you have relatively limited web access with your students. Role play is James's favourite, and it's very fashionable in Australian universities at the moment, role play. But the one that I've got screenshots is this next one here, Predictive Observe Explain. Does anyone know Predictive Observe Explain, the scientific theory? Okay. Well, as it says there, Predictive Observe Explain asks students to predict what they think is going to happen in a particular scenario. Then you show them what happens, and then they've got to explain any differences with their prediction versus what actually happened. So it's a really formulaic type scenario, but it works quite well. So we've got this example here explaining what Predict, Observe, Explain does. Then a concrete example with content in it, which is the hammer and feather example on the moon. And then we've stripped the content out. So if you come to this and you think, right, I like this scenario, you can just drop your own content in. That's all you have to do. So the hammer and feather example, I'll just quickly show you how the pattern works. Is anyone familiar with that? It's when the astronauts took the hammer and feather up onto the moon and went to drop it, and the students are asked to say, okay, what's going to hit the ground first, the hammer or the feather? Or are they going to hit the ground? So this is a screenshot of a really dodgy thing. I mean, I remember it was sort of early 70s. The astronaut has got a hammer and a feather in the hand, and he's going to drop it at exactly the same time, at the same height. And what they do is, there's just a little clip here where the astronaut speaks and explains the scenario of what he's about to do. So this is where the students are asked to predict what will happen when the moon-based astronaut simultaneously releases both his hammer and the feather at the same height at the same time. And students are asked to predict, and notice they are given an other option. As if you'd pick other. Like, I mean, that's obviously one of those other options. Well,
when I did this at the end, I had an option D, but it was not there.
But the feather comes first.
That both objects hit the ground at the same time. Because usually, the gravity makes all objects fall at the same rate.
Yes.
The only thing that makes one fall faster than the other is the friction of the air.
Option B. And then this is part of the whole commitment. The students actually guessed the answer and doesn't know. They can note it here and say, well, I wasn't really sure, I just made it. And that's a really important part of what they do. If they're absolutely certain that they're wrong, it's harder to justify. Okay, and so they've got to write their reason for predicting. this would be the films where they get to actually see what happens. And a really important part of this is getting them to explain what they see, because what was really interesting is when we first started doing this, although the film quite clearly shows them what happens, a lot of them didn't see what really happened. And so if you don't know what they think they're seeing and you're just responding to their comments, you get quite odd responses. So this has become a really important part of it, to them telling you what they think they're seeing. Okay, and then what are the differences between the prediction and your observation? And they've got to try and justify or explain the differences. Okay, so that's what it was. Now this is now moved into the planner. So you can see that in the first section, for those familiar with LAMS, you'll see it's a notice board, that first section that had the video embedded in it. Now, if you wanted to, you can take out the content and edit the content from this particular area here. So you can put in your own video or whatever. And as James showed this morning, we've got context-sensitive help here. So you can click that button, editing advice, at any point where updating is useful to you to change the content. And we explain what sort of thing we expect you to put into that particular area. So why are so many teams currently working on planners now? With our particular area and in a lot of Western countries, we are no longer just teaching the elite who are happy to sit there and be talked at and sort of get it. We've now got an incredibly wide range of students with all sorts of difficulties and ranges in cultural motivation, ability, etc. And it does mean that they are looking for a wider and different range of teaching strategies. Not to mention that a lot of it is now online. It's really unusual now for us to have a course that doesn't have some sort of component of online instruction. And that's not just a financial consideration. That demand is coming from students. They want access to their resources 24/7. Okay, so again, this is basically, we've got a new group. We're looking at a whole range and we're trying to get our lecturers to accommodate those So what I was going to do now is just have some input from you guys and having a look at if anybody's interested in playing. Do you want to switch? It's far too good. Is this in Spanish?
No.
Okay. So if anybody's interested, you're welcome to just grab passwords and have a play if you'd like. I can do that. I've now sort of got really 4 minutes to...
Well, this one is two on music. This one is two... I don't know password.
Well, I don't think they've really got the time to do it right now. By the time they log on, it's really time for lunch. But I can send you passwords so that you can spend a bit of time looking at this if you'd like to. I'm trying to think. Possibly the easiest way is if I give you my card, you just email me and let me know and I'll just create a user account for you. There's two levels of access. As I was explaining, that there is this level where you just go in and you can work your way through and just investigate, basically, what's in there and make it...
I think it's within level.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You can just have a look and work through and edit the ones that are in there. One that I just showed you. And you can see that we've sort of expanded this to some extent now. We've got a whole lot of variations. That the problem we had was, where do you draw the line between making it too complex to use, but complex enough so that it has a whole lot of features that people could just basically plug and play it. So there is options with offline group discussion, etc., and a whole lot of things here. What we've now decided is possibly a better option is to keep it to the bald one, that is this one with the basic generic one, and then click off to a whole lot of variations afterwards. People are reacting to this, the complexity of the screen. So at this stage, we'll probably just on this page have a concrete example and a generic one, and then all these other variations will be on another page for people to use. If you click into the editor, and with the passwords that I give you, you'll be able to use this editor, and that does take you into the sequence and allows you to edit, take out the content that's there and put in your own. Just a word of warning that when Ernie set this up, he decided it would be a really good tool if you press delete, that you delete the whole arm, the whole branch, so everything in that particular area goes. So if anyone is in there and they do decide that their work is not worth saving and press delete, just bear in mind you are going to delete everybody else's work in that particular group. We do regularly back up because it happens all the time. But it is a little bit tricky. So for those of you who are familiar with LAMS, you'll recognise that the LAMS sequence is down the left-hand side. So it's a standard LAMS sequence. Did you log on with Juanita?
No, with my name.
Okay. So you've got that down there, and then you've got the opportunity to edit at each part. You can just click here and just go into a standard LAMS sequence, then it just converts and move through that way. So the password I'll give you gives you access, this access, whereby you can just go in and edit that. Now the other access, the next level up, gives you the ability to create these planners. And, oh, come on, it's in Spanish.
In the first one.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to have a look at that. Oh, you
see? You want Spanish now?
Yeah, right. And the breadcrumbs don't currently go to every page, strangely enough. Okay, there is an editor here, which is actually a different editor that allows you to create your own scenario. So if you've got a particular learning pattern, if you like, you can go in and develop your own. So we haven't as yet given you passwords to do that, because you do have the potential of doing some really interesting things to other people's work when you do that. But if you particularly want that access, let us know. We can just give you a little update as to which bits you can fiddle around with. Okay. Considering the time, I'm happy to take questions throughout the day on this, but I'll give you I'll put cards on the table, and if anybody does want to have a password so that they can at their own time just go through and investigate. The other thing that we're looking at too is getting suggestions for generic patterns or learning designs that are quite standard and are in the same style. That is, the design is fairly standard for all environments, and you can just cut and paste the text in and out. So if you've got anything else that you don't happen to notice in here and you think, well, you know, this would be the obvious use, then just let us know if you don't want to build it, and we'll have a go at building it ourselves. Okay, so thank you. There's the cards. Time for lunch. And lunch is here.
Does look here.
In this building?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that's why you're all here. It's going to rain. So it's just in the, as you walk out the corridor here, there's an open area, and lunch is going to be there. And better luck if you first there. Yes, girls.
If you start to use this in real practice or just...
I've used the WebQuest, and I was at a conference last week with Bernie Dodge, and he's got three PhD students trying to work some software to do this. So he was pretty excited when he saw this. I don't know what he can do with his PhD students if he takes this on, right? But, yeah, I think that it'll... For things like WebQuest, where the pattern is just, you know, rock solid, and all it is cut and paste, it's great. And the students don't notice the difference. Like, the end product, they don't know whether you've done it in Lang's in full authoring or you've done it via this. This is people that are really not interested in LAMS, but you've shown them this, they're more interested in this. So it's really interesting. People say that LAMS is quite easy to use, but clearly it isn't. Because when people see this, they go, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
I have tried with some teachers, so that's what I'm going to explain it.
Yes, my question is focused on teachers, of course, because a problem that we have in Greece, I don't know, maybe in another country, is that especially in subject as computing and other, they have not the pedagogical background to create correct activities. And I believe that this tool is a good way to help these people.
Well, I know I've got the lecturers that were coming to me tended to be the younger lecturers who were relatively new that their teaching wasn't working. Their evaluations were not good, but they simply didn't know how to fix it. And they were just lecturing to their students, they figured the way they were lectured to, but somehow their students weren't happy. So they had heard about things like role play, but didn't know the first place to start. So at least this gives them a first step. The problem is, will we end up turning out lecturers the sausage factory model? You know, they just did the same thing over and over again. Well, I guess I've known lecturers that do that anyway, so the technology really doesn't change that.
Thank you.
And a lot of lecturers, when you when you say take the content away.
Yeah,
All we wanted to say is, can we see a trend towards using certain teaching methods in certain phases of the study program, in certain levels of the study program?
Sorry?
Something's winking.
I said, no, it did worry me, but apparently we're all right. Elena came in with me. She said, no, this is fine. So,
not all right
then. I think it's usually towards people that there's some sort of important moment.
Oh.
But clearly there isn't.
Are you going to present?
No. I'm just an observer. I'm not even a contributor in the discussion. I'm just observing to see what people do.
So,
I'm Barbara Everett and I work at the university here.
I'm Kasia.
And what do you do?
I teach at the University of Nicosia. I teach linguistics and English.
University of?
Of Nicosia. It's in South.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
A long way.
It is a long way.
Not a long way for you to come, I mean.
Yeah, it's some reason to come here. Yeah. Right, and I'm just looking at plans and so started introducing me to them.
When did you? This is all absolutely new to me. So, do universities use this kind of tool?
Well, our university is just about to start using it. I mean, we started. A couple of teachers started using them 2 or 3 courses just first to experiment